coaching jobs that are already open in college football. Florida, Tennessee, UCLA, Ole Miss, all assuming the interim guys don't get the full job. How about those programs, though? Premier opportunities for somebody. More jobs to come open, barring miracles for the current guys. Nebraska, Arkansas, other Power 5 openings that wouldn't shock me. Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Illinois. Oh, sorry, Oregon State. I know your job's open, too. My point is this. The next few years are going to be incredibly fun because tradition-rich programs will return to relevance. And don't we need the Floridas, Tennessees, and Nebraskas to matter? Of course, they all might just as likely be right back into another coaching search, too. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
What's more disappointing today, Iowa football or Iowa men's basketball? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Talk about November football forever. It's, I think, a very important month in college football. And, you know, our goal right now is to finish the month the way we started it, and that's on a positive note.
Hard to believe the month of November did start on a positive note for the Hawkeyes. They beat Ohio State. Since then, I think we all know the direction the Hawkeyes have turned since that game. 4:06, welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann. I'm Todd Brommelkamp, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight on 1600 AM, our historic main gym. You can also hear us on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Great show for you today. We're going to talk a little Chicago sports with Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago. He'll be with us at 5 o'clock. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is with us at 5:30 today. We'll discuss what Kirk Ferentz had to say in Iowa City earlier and probably talk a little Hawkeye basketball with Rob as well. And then as a special treat, I didn't know whether you folks had anything to be thankful for this week on this program, and I decided to give you something to be thankful for. We're not going to be on the air Thursday for Thanksgiving, so we're going to do Would You today in the 6 o'clock hour. And if you don't think that that's a reason to be thankful, okay, yeah, I'm right there with you. Alex, how are you today?
I'm doing all right.
You're doing better than the Iowa basketball team right now. You and I both are.
Yeah, I think that I am. And for Hawkeye fans, this is a week where you just have to sit back and remember what you're thankful for, because your teams aren't exactly giving you a whole lot to be happy about in the here and now. So it's been a pretty bad last 4 days for the Iowa men's basketball team and the Iowa football team, and we'll see if that turns around. I think Iowa wants to get out of the Cayman Islands as quickly as possible, though.
If you are a Hawkeye fan, what are you thankful for at the moment? 319-366-1600. Maybe it's the fact that this week is eventually going to be over. The Hawkeyes gearing up for Nebraska on Black Friday. As we mentioned, we'll hear from Kirk Ferentz on coaches' cuts coming up in the second hour. But the Hawkeye basketball team continues to be the story. If you're Kirk Ferentz, and Kirk does not relish in Iowa struggling in other sports, but if you're Kirk Ferentz, probably not all that upset that the Iowa basketball team's struggling right now, because it's taking a little bit of the focus, fair or not, off of the football team's struggle right now. The Hawkeyes go down to the Cayman Islands. They lose yesterday, give up 80 plus to Louisiana. And today, another 80-point performance for the opponent, South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, who have a really nice player in Mike Dahlm. That's a good mid-major basketball team. But it's not a team that you should be losing to. 80-72, South Dakota State led at the half, and as you take a deep dive into this box score, Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes got to get some things figured out. Now, you can look and say that Connor McCaffrey is sidelined and Nicholas Bear is going to be out for a couple more weeks, and this is a team that right now is playing behind the eight ball. Absolutely, but this is where depth comes into play, or doesn't come into play, as the story may be. But you look across, you know, Tyler Cook plays 28 minutes, 11 points, 4 of 10 shooting. You get 4 points in 28 minutes out of Luka Garza. Granted, he's a freshman. 32 minutes and 7 points for Jordan Bohannon. And you can just go down. Isaiah Moss, for the second day in a row, led Iowa with 18 points. I could have counted on one hand the number of games I would think Isaiah Moss would lead the team in scoring with for the entire season about a month ago. And we'll hear from Fran McCaffrey. We've got a little bit of audio from the Cayman Islands, as we did yesterday. If you missed that on the show, you can always download the podcast, kgymradio.com. We've got a lot of baseball to talk about, too, today as well, for those folks out there who are interested in Joe Morgan's statement, which may or may not have been released through the Hall of Fame. It was on their stationery. And then Major League Baseball handing down a very severe punishment for the Atlanta Braves, including banning their former general manager from the game for life. But in the meantime, we talk Hawkeyes with Mike in Dyersville. He's first up tonight on the phone lines. You can follow him, 366-1600. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
Good. Good. What's going on?
Hey, just wanted to say what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving is the Iowa football program. There has been a lot of negativity ever since Saturday. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, coming from you guys, but just the Iowa fan base and our Iowa fan base in general. And I just don't know where it's coming from. There's no denying what happened in the Purdue game. They were outcoached. The players were not up for that game. It was the one downer game of the year. But if you look at the composite of the season, to me, they've had a successful season. They're a play away from taking down Penn State. Phenomenal defense in that game, playing a lot of young kids. So I'm just at a loss. And it's this way every year. The expectations from this fan base and how they flip on a dime to me, it's pathetic. And if we want to go down that course, and that's not even getting into Brian Ferentz as the offensive coordinator. But going down that course after a game is dropped and firing Kirk Ferentz is ludicrous. I guarantee you by the end of the week, after Iowa smashes Nebraska, it will be a different tone. And then it's going to depend on the bowl matchup. They get a favorable bowl matchup. We go into the year looking good. Into next year. I'm just very frustrated with the negativity toward the Iowa football program and how it flips on a dime by a single game. Like I said, there's been one Debbie Downer of a game, and it was the Purdue game. But if you look at the season as a whole, I think the program has a lot to hold their hat on. So that's my two cents, and that's what I'm thankful for. So,
all right, Mike, hey, we appreciate you batting leadoff for us tonight. You have a happy Thanksgiving if we don't hear from you tomorrow. And a couple people already responding on the Hertine and Stocker text line, taking issue with a little bit. A Mike from Marengo saying, some true statements, but boy, is he drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't necessarily see that at all. I see that as a fan who's trying to remain as positive as possible through that. And another text, 2922, is pointing out, did he not see the Wisconsin game? But I think that goes back to what Kirk Ferentz said on Saturday after the game. Wisconsin's a top five team. Okay, that was an absolute stinker, but they weren't favored in that game. They were, you know, they weren't supposed to win in the eyes of many people. Now, you could say the same thing about Ohio State, and they went and blew them out. But the Purdue game is the rotten egg of the season. There's no doubt about that. Now, there's a possibility there could be one more coming. Because if they win and lost on Friday, I don't even want to imagine what it would be like. Actually, I do. Because when you're in this business, that actually makes your job much easier if something disastrous would happen on Friday. But personally, I don't want to see that. I don't even want to think about that. But if they lost to Nebraska, you would have people absolutely come unhinged. And there are some of them out there already. I know there were a lot of people talking today earlier in the fan base with a little bit of the numbers from the Ferentz contract that if they win seven games this year, the The buyout automatically jumps up to 100%. And so that's another 2.4. That's just the idea that you're talking about a buyout right now. He's not going anywhere. And the assistant coaches, if they get to 7 wins, they get the 8% pay bump. And it goes back to what Mike said, which, by the way, I love Dyersville. It's been a long time since I've been up to Dyersville. My college roommate my freshman year was from Dyersville, and I absolutely love that area of the state. Great, great baseball fans all up in there, but I love Dyersville. I got to get back up there again sometime. What Mike was saying about the fan base and how they turn on a dime and sort of, you know, lick our finger and stick it in the air, here's the thing. That's not necessarily unique to the Iowa fans. There are a lot of college fan bases out there that do some of the same things as the Iowa fans do, but I guarantee you that a lot of the people who are saying bad things about Kirk Ferentz and the coaching staff, if you rewind to this very time 2 years ago, before they lost to Michigan State and Stanford, this very time 2 years ago, some of those people, the majority of those people, they're in Kirk's camp. I guarantee it. If there was a way to go back and match up what people are saying now with what they were saying 2 years ago, I guarantee you a lot of people would be singing a different tune. And it's just it's the nature of the business. And it is a business. Always remind yourself of that. It's not sport. It's not entertainment. It's business. It's the nature of the business. It's what have you done for me lately?
And I think it's fair. I think you wonder why the narrative has changed on a dime, and it's because the quality of play has changed on a dime. We saw Ohio State, and then 7 days later, I know it's a top five team, but they had the worst offensive output of the year against a top five Wisconsin team. They weren't good enough offensively that day. They weren't good enough really defensively, and they struggled on special teams, albeit against a top five Wisconsin team, and then the Purdue game. So I see people texting in 319-366-1600, and 6562 echoes something.
Thank you, Hurtin and Stocker. Yes.
Echoes something. So it's one of two options. You're either drinking the Kool-Aid or you want Ferentz fired.
Well, we talked about this earlier
exactly.
today before I left for Iowa City.
I feel like people are in one of two camps. You're either you want him gone or you want to carry his water. And I know that at least that's who we hear from. And I know there are so many people who are in the middle. I think that you can make the distinction of saying that he is a good coach and still be a little bit critical of what we've seen the last 2 weeks. It's perfectly okay to do that.
There are very few, at least with this fan base, and this is a term that may or may not make any sense to people, but I have made it up and I've never used it before, but I'm going to use it now to describe that section of the fans that don't seem to exist, surf and turf fans. With Iowa fans, it seems that you are either steak or you are lobster, and there is no surf and turf. There is no little bit of column A, little bit of column B. Now, there are some fans out there that are like that, but when Iowa is very successful or when they have what's perceived as a disappointing run, the polarization comes out, and you get column A and column B, and if anybody wants to reside in the middle and say, well, I still like Kirk Ferentz, I think he's a good coach, they're just going through a little bit of a rough stretch here, you get beat up from both sides.
Yes.
Because you get the people over here that are saying, how could you not like Kirk Ferentz? And he gives money to the Children's Hospital, and he's a great guy, which he is, by the way, I want to be very clear about that, and you get people that are just in his corner, and then on the other side of things, and we hear from them all the time on this program. And I do think that things like sports talk radio and certainly internet message boards, and good God, now with Twitter and Facebook have taken over where message boards used to dominate in negativity. Twitter and Facebook, I think, have completely superseded that. But you get this sort of groundswell of negativity, and it's hard to overcome sometimes, but that's the nature of the beast in 2017. That's the way that things go, and it really is unfortunate. But you can't look and say that the last 2 weeks have been great for this program, and You know, as Kirk said earlier today, and you'll hear on some very poor quality audio that I brought back with me from Iowa City because I had to improvise today, but they're trying to improve their bowl resume, and they are playing for a couple things this week, and one of them is to get the bad taste of the last 2 weeks out of their mouth. 319-366-1600. The Hertin and Stocker text line is now sort of devolving into a discussion of the Iowa fan base and whether or not how they, and I say the fan base, again, it's painting with a broad brush, and it's virtually impossible to single out this fan and that fan. And I mean, it's just, you have to sort of do it. But as I was saying, or trying to say, with Twitter and Facebook and sports talk radio, what it does is it tends to amplify the negative voices. And the positive voices, they either feel like there's no room for them or they're not motivated enough to pick up the phone and call. If Iowa wins the game and we do a post-game show either here in the studio or Coach's Corner, very few people pick up the phone to call and say, here are the things that I liked from today's game. Iowa played well, this, 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 and this. But when Iowa loses, there's just something about a loss and being able to feed that negativity, whether it's conscious or not, that's a megaphone for those voices. And sometimes I think, you know, we sometimes feel guilty, a little too guilty of putting too much weight into those voices. But
yes,
at the same time, I don't think you can listen to them and say that their criticisms aren't valid. Some of them. Now, you go to the extreme, look, and I haven't looked today, but we were talking about it on the way out of the building. Somebody said, I have a feeling that people are going to hear what Kirk Ferentz had to say and they're going to get mad at the media for not asking the tough questions. And I've said this time and time again. I've covered 18 of Kirk Ferentz's 19 seasons as head coach at Iowa. You know what the answers are going to be before you ask him the questions. And if you ask him the tough questions, he's not going to answer them. And so asking the tough questions and making an ass out of yourself isn't going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you an answer, and it's not going to do anything to help you. Let's put it that way. But the TV guy who asked who the biggest turkeys were on the team this year, I did feel sort of sorry for him because
what?
I thought, yeah, it was. And I don't want to do this. Oh, I sort of do at 4:22.
What?
Look, there's a difference between a lot of what the written word guys do, the internet guys, the beat writers, and what the TV guys do. And then radio is just sort of, we're in the middle, we're surf and turf. We can get goofy, we can get serious, but TV guys like to sometimes ask the wacky questions, and it's sort of all about time and place. And I'll share this little anecdote here before, really quickly before we move on. But when I was in high school and I was looking at getting into professional baseball, I befriended a minor league manager, and he gave me free reign of the clubhouse and come and go and hang out with the coaches and couldn't drink beer. I was 16, 17 years old at that point. But he always gave me one great piece of advice that I always kept in the back of my mind. Pick your spots. And, you know, if they lose 15-1, I'm probably not hanging out in the clubhouse that day. And so pick your spots. But it's Thanksgiving and TV guys looking to do a wacky package about, hey, coach, it's Thanksgiving. Who would you say the biggest turkeys are on the team this year? That's the kind of crap that makes all of us look bad, because guess what? Somebody out there is going to hear that question, and they're going to go to a message board, or they're going to go to Twitter, or they're going to go to Facebook and go, look at these stooges.
The media.
I'm not
That's
the one asking.
Yeah,
exactly. So when you ask that question, guess who's guilty? I am. And Mark Morehouse and Scott Docterman and everybody sitting in that room, because we all get lumped together. Hey, coach, who would you say the biggest turkeys are on the team? And you know what? Ferentz didn't answer it because Ferentz thought it was a dumb question. But I know. I get it. You're trying to probably get some audio for Thursday night's Thanksgiving broadcast when they bring in the C team, because anybody with a decent contract doesn't have to work on Thanksgiving. And you want to do here's a wacky package about the biggest turkey on the team.
Is that a Doug accent?
Yeah, I'm sorry. And by the way, that fell through. I couldn't get a response. Short week. Sure, they celebrate Thanksgiving over there in the Tri-Cities, too. 319-366-1600. So who is the biggest turkey on the football team? 319-366-1600. And that's the question that's going to get everybody in trouble with a section of the fan base that's out for blood. Because they want somebody to stand up and go, Coach Ferentz, Johnny on the spot from Hardball Times, I want to know why you won't fire your son Brian over Thanksgiving dinner. Why won't you fire him at Thanksgiving and then Friday morning you name a new offensive coordinator? And they want it asked exactly that way. Well, you're never going to get that. I apologize in advance. But you know what the answer would be? You win as a team, you lose as a team.
Details.
And everything comes back, everything funnels back to Kirk Ferentz, and he does that on purpose. And I think it's a good way to run a program, but sometimes you get a little tired of it. We'll take a quick break here. I am going to wade through the Hertin and Stocker text line because I see orange dot, orange dot, orange dot all over the place here. Kyle's going to come into the studio. He's going to have a Midwest One Bank big board update for you. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to continue either talking Hawkeye football or we're going to get to this Joe Morgan stuff, which is the subject of our KGYM poll question. We'll have that for you when we return after this. 426, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on all three frequencies till 7 o'clock. On the way, more after this.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the lights and get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm going to go get the hammer to get started.
And we never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LynnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. 427. If you haven't heard, Hall of Fame second baseman Joe Morgan sent out a letter today on Hall of Fame letterhead urging Hall of Fame voters not to vote for any Major League Baseball players who used steroids during their career. It's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Morgan's letter, fair or foul? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the question. They are on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Let's send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got your first Midwest One Bank big board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Well, things have not gone according to plan for the Iowa basketball team in the Cayman Islands. After falling to Louisiana Lafayette yesterday, they lost to South Dakota State earlier today, 80-72. Iowa actually didn't play as poorly as it did yesterday and, in fact, shot 50% from the floor, but committed 15 turnovers and allowed the Jackrabbits to go 16 of 19 from the free throw line. The Hawkeyes will play for 7th place against either Buffalo or Alabama-Birmingham tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz spoke to the media in Iowa City today and passed along a little bit of injury news. Safety Amani Hooker has missed the last couple of weeks and unfortunately won't be able to play in Iowa's regular season finale against Nebraska this Friday. As for Iowa State, few interesting notes out of Ames. Receiver Alan Lazard accepted an invitation to play in the Senior Bowl in Alabama in late January. Also, running back David Montgomery affirmed what Coach Matt Campbell said yesterday, that he'll be ready to go after an ankle injury last weekend. Lastly, defensive coordinator and safeties coach John Heacock has been named a semifinalist for the Broyles Award, which goes annually to the nation's best assistant coach. We've got a lot going on after the show today. Beginning right after we get off the air, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And on the North and South Gym FM frequencies beginning at 7:30, we'll have Cedar Rapids Prairie hosting Muscatine in our first high school girls basketball action of the year. And back on 1600 beginning at 9 o'clock, we'll have number 13 Notre Dame taking on LSU at the Maui Invitational.
It's a very nice recognition for John Heacock. Hopefully he becomes a finalist for that award, but he's got a 1 in 15 chance of taking home the Broyles Award. And went back and forth about bringing this up, but I'm going to do it when we come back. Last night, I had a dream. I had a dream about Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz.
Tweet about this.
And it was bizarre, and it was strange, and I wanted desperately to stop him after his news conference today and ask him one question, and I didn't do it. And I will tell you a little bit about this very bizarre Kirk Ferentz dream when we come back after this. Big show planned for you today. Chris Emma from 670, The Score in Chicago, is on the way to kick off hour number two. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be with us as well, plus a very special Tuesday of Thanksgiving week edition of Would Ya. No KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire on Friday. That's because we'll be doing a post-game show from Coach's Corner Sports Pub, so stop on by at 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. We'll tell you more about that when we come back as well. 106.3, 107.5, 1600 AM KGYM, back after this.
Are you in the market for a new or used vehicle? I'm Brittany from Toyota of Iowa City, and I'm here with some great news for you. Toyota of Iowa City, voted the area's best auto dealer by Press Citizen readers once again, is starting its Toyota Black Friday event right now. Come browse our huge vehicle inventory and take advantage of factory specials such as 0% financing for 60 months on all new 2018 RAV4s and 2.9% financing on all certified pre-owned RAV4s. And come in to see the great lease rates on all new 2018 Camrys. You really need to stop in and see for yourself. But don't wait. These deals end on December 4th. Check us out today at toyotaiowacity.com for more specials and details, or better yet, just stop in and tell them Brittany sent you.
0% financing for 60 months requires qualifying credit and is $1,667 per $1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
Damn you!
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Not much change expected when the latest college football playoff rankings are released, 7 Eastern on ESPN TV. But this week's rivalry games could shake things up. One of the marquee matchups, number 1 Alabama versus number 6 Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Been a lot of talk about the future of Tigers coach Gus Malzahn. One result on Saturday could make sure he stays put, notes ESPN's Chris Lowe.
If they beat Bam on Saturday, he's not going anywhere. Where he's going is he's going to go up and south. He's going to get an extension and a raise. Because they're essentially, then it's a one-game season for Auburn to get in the playoff.
Chris Lowe, Campus Conversation Podcast. Big 12 publicly reprimanding Oklahoma QB Baker Mayfield for his inappropriate actions on Saturday. Things haven't worked out in Denver with quarterbacks Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler. So the Broncos will be starting Paxton Lynch Sunday at Oakland, reports ESPN's Dan Graziano. Missouri star freshman Michael Porter Jr. will undergo back surgery and likely miss the remainder of the season. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge had shoulder surgery. The right fielder is expected to be ready by spring training.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you 3. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. 3 ways you could save 15% or more.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
This season, give thanks to the car that helps you get through it. Keep your car running newer, longer at Firestone Complete Auto Care. Get $100 off with a purchase of $500 or more during the Black Friday Savings Event. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid November 22nd through 27th. Eligible tires only. Additional fees may apply where lawful. Subject to restrictions. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
.435 Welcome back in hour number one of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Continuing along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann. We'll get you up until 7 o'clock tonight. The very first high school basketball broadcast of the season is coming your way tonight. Is he still vacationing? Is his vacation over as of 3:57? Scott Unash was not on the gym class today, but I do believe he has returned to the building in preparation for tonight's basketball broadcast. That is going to be a 7:30 broadcast on our FM frequencies. And 1600 AM, you're going to get the Cyclone Sideline Show. We talked with John Walters yesterday because of the women's basketball game last night, which, by the way, Iowa State did beat UMKC. Because of that basketball game, they're moving, or had to move, the Sideline Show to tonight. Still no word on what football staff member will be joining John, but should be a great listen beginning at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM. Haven't looked to see if they've tweaked the updated bowl projections, but as of yesterday, ESPN was looking at Iowa State playing SMU in the Liberty Bowl. And the Cyclones have an opportunity to put another win in the 8 regular season wins for Iowa State if they can go on the road and beat Bill Snyder and Kansas State in Manhattan. There's some discussion among some of the players in the series, whether or not there should be a trophy on the line between Kansas State and Iowa State. It's known as Farmageddon, but there is no trophy. And to that, all I have to say is not every football game or rivalry needs a stinking trophy. Just look at Ohio State and Michigan. Those two schools just hate each other. Can't we just hate each other and not have to have a trophy? Look,
yes, you can.
And I don't even want to hear the audio from Kirk Ferentz today, who stood up there and said what an honor it is to be part of the Heroes game and the meaning behind the trophy. And it's a trophy that's, what, 6 years old?
Yes.
It's contrived. It's got a corporate sponsorship attached to it. The only reason it exists is because they could make money off the series. There's no greater meaning behind the trophy. And I know what they do, and it's nice to honor the so-called heroes from each state, which, by the way these two teams are playing recently, I think you automatically get nominated for the Heroes game trophy next year if you attend or sit through Friday's game. They take one person from Nebraska, one person from Iowa, they take them down on the field, and they honor them, which is very nice. I'm not trying to take anything away from that, but don't stand up there and say this is a great honor to be part of this. No, it's not. And this will be put to the test because Kirk always says there's no such thing as a bad bowl game. And if Armageddon happens and they wind up going to the Quick Lane Bowl, I will change the opening, the intro to this show every single day to, I will get rid of Steve Alford saying you're from freaking Iowa, and I will replace it with Kirk Ferentz saying there's no such thing as a bad bowl game. We are honored to go to the Quick Lane Bowl. If that piece of audio comes into existence, it goes into the open of the program.
For good?
Well, let's not. I don't want to take away.
And you don't want to make an executive decision?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to get rid of Steve either, because I like the fact that he's forever a part of this program in Eastern Iowa, even though it didn't exist when he was still the coach here.
I was just wondering if Bob Diaco might have that civil conflict trophy from his time at UConn, where he tried to forge that rivalry with UCF.
If
and when
he
UCF
does.
Won, they just left the trophy there, didn't acknowledge it existed.
Well, if Iowa State and Kansas State want to play for a trophy, they should play for the failed Cyhawk trophy that everybody hated. The Pewter family with the basket of corn, that'd be for Farmageddon. That'd be great. It'd be a great fit. As a matter of fact, I may or may not have suggested that on Twitter a few moments ago at Todd Brommelkamp, but that's neither here nor there. Iowa State, Kansas State, it's a nice rivalry. You don't need a trophy. Just dislike each other and go out. And Iowa State's playing for 8 regular season wins and trying to make its case to go to a better bowl game than the Liberty Bowl. And I don't necessarily blame them. They're an underdog, by the way, this weekend, about a 3-point underdog, I think, which is, look, Kansas State. I don't think this group of seniors has beaten Kansas State, right? Is that accurate? And it's Bill Snyder, who is the most prepared coach, especially given his age, of any coach in Division I football. I mean, Bill Snyder is going to have that team ready to go this weekend. That being said, we've been talking about Iowa and Nebraska coming in on Black Friday, and we want your thoughts as well. 319-366-1600. Kirk Ferentz basically he said a lot and said very little today, which was to be expected. But in reading between the lines, one of the things I took away from what he had to say was I think he's a little bit disappointed in some of the veterans on the team. And he talked about they play their best when their veterans are doing a great job and bringing the young guys along. And he's not knocking Josie Jewell, which, by the way, it was mentioned today at the news conference that they looked back for, I believe, to 1930, and they have not found anybody who was a 3-time captain on the Iowa football program. So that puts Josie Jewell in complete, he's alone in the annals of Iowa football history in that standpoint. So not a knock on Josie Jewell, but maybe on some of the other veteran guys there. Now, somebody on the Hurtin and Stocker text line is wondering if I'm going to get to the Kirk Ferentz dream story. I have a tendency to mention things and then not follow through on them, and I don't necessarily know if this is all that interesting or not, but I wanted to ask Kirk Ferentz a question today, and it wasn't who the biggest turkey is on the football team, which, by the way, thank you for your feedback on the text line. I don't think I'll be breaking out the wacky TV sports reporter voice again anytime soon, but it was just it that moment called for it. That was Babe Ruth pointing to the stands, call your shot. Okay, here, I'm going to use it. I wanted to ask him, Kirk grew up in the Pittsburgh area, and I know he's a big Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and I wanted to ask him who his favorite member of those 1970s Pirates were, because last night, my son has been battling this. He got over this cold, but this cough is sticking around. And for the last 3 nights, this has driven my wife and I absolutely insane. Almost like clockwork, he wakes up at 2 a.m. with a terrible cough. And he's coughing, and he has a hard time catching his breath. And it was scary the first night, and then we got used to it. And then you got to be up with him until 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning until he calms back down and goes to bed. And it's not fun. And anybody out there who has children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm going to guess 98% of you have no sympathy for me because been there, done that, right? You ever wake up? How often do you dream?
Half the time.
Wake up in the morning or get woken up and have a very vivid recollection of what you were dreaming about?
Once in a while.
Okay. So my son wakes me up at about 1:45, 2 o'clock this morning. And he woke me up from a dream in which I was having a one-on-one sit-down with Kirk Ferentz. And it was a little bit of an overflow from the conversation that we had about him on this program yesterday, and it was that he wasn't happy with my negativity toward him. And in the dream, I mean, it's very vivid. Steve Rowe is there, the sports information director at Iowa, and Ferentz is a PR guy. He has two PR people that work for him. I don't know if people know that or not, but Kirk has a couple PR folks who are independent of the university, and so Al, one of the PR guys, was in the dream as well. And we were riding around it was like a stretch Escalade. It was like an Escalade limousine.
This is a vivid dream.
It was exactly. Jeez. And it doesn't happen very often. And you wake up and he's chewing my rear end about some of the things that I've been saying about him, which I don't think I've been too negative about Ferentz. Again, I as I said yesterday, I like the guy. And the recurring theme every time Ferentz would answer a question or the conversation kept, he kept steering it in my dream back to Manny Sanguian, who was the catcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 1970s. And I'm trying to think through 19 years, I know Ferentz is a fan of the Pirates, through 19 years, has he ever at any point in time mentioned the fact that Manny Sanguian was his favorite member of the Pirates? And, you know, somebody just, the way that the mind works, where you pick up things and then subconsciously your brain will recall them and you'll dream about them or you'll think about them. I was trying to figure out, am I just completely connecting dots that don't exist here? Or at some point in time, did Kirk Ferentz say something about Manny Sanguian? And I wanted desperately to ask him today, but I couldn't come up with a way to do it where it wasn't completely creepy and off-putting. Because you don't,
you should have just slid it in right behind the turkey question.
Turkey guy, hey, coach, who's the biggest turkey on the team? I think that answer would get me in trouble. Coach Todd Brownlecamp, you know me, CajunYMRadio.com. Are you a big fan of Manny Sanguian? So I wanted to, I didn't. And there was a point he was leaving the room and he stopped very briefly to talk with Gary Barta. And I thought, okay, I could look doubly weird right now if I went over there and butted in on that conversation. And just said, hey, Kirk, I was dreaming about you last night, which, by the way, is a very, very bad way to start a conversation with any guy, let alone somebody that you have a, or supposed to have a professional relationship with. But I was dreaming about you last night, and the conversation kept coming back to Manny Sanguian.
Should we reach out to the athletic department, just have them ask one question to Kirk?
No.
Hey, Kirk, who was your favorite player growing up as
a
Pirates fan?
Release it in a statement via email to everybody on the distribution list. Kirk Ferentz comments on who his favorite member of the Pirates. I think he'd say Clemente, but he'd passed away in 1973. Is that when the plane went down? I'm thinking this is more along the lines of late 70s Pirates, but anyway, I digress. So I had a dream about Kirk Ferentz last night, and he wasn't happy with me, and que sera, sera, and Manny Sanguian. And then I went back to bed at about 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning. 319-366-1600. Let's head to Iowa City. We got Mary in Iowa City. Go ahead, Mary.
Hey, gentlemen. I want to say hello first. First-time caller. She spent a lot of time with my husband, Eric Peterson, so that's a little about me.
Oh, hey, Mary.
I have a comment about the game on Friday and who the biggest turkey on the team is. The whole team is the biggest turkeys because they are going to gobble up the corn huskers, like starving turkeys, picking all that corn off that husker. So that's the answer to that. So we're going to win, and fans, you need to relax. Give those kids a break. They're human beings. I'm cheering them on as always. Diehard fans.
All right, Mary, we appreciate the time there. I'm not going to lie. There was about 2% of me that thought that perhaps that was Mary Ferentz, and she was calling in to say that, you know what?
Thought.
You know what? My husband Kirk always talks about Manny Sanguian, and then I was going to feel completely vindicated. I don't even want to look at the text line right now because they either think I'm insane, I'm wasting their time, or a combination of both. The surf and turf. We got the surf and turf going on the text line. I have a feeling right now. A little bit of column A, a little bit of. You didn't need to tell me that.
Someone wanted to know the genesis of the Steve Alford comments as why he said. You're from freaking Iowa.
That's him getting snippy with Mike Halas at the NCAA basketball tournament.
Or asking him about the Indiana rumors,
in 2001.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, asking about the Indiana. And that was, I got to, look, women in sports sometimes get a bad rap. And this is, to me, I always go back to this this note. Mike Halas asked Steve Alford about the Indiana rumors, and Alford snapped at him, and he said, you're from freaking Iowa, and na-na-na-na-na-na. And he said, I'm here to talk about Iowa basketball. Ask me questions about Iowa basketball. And the room just, I don't think anybody was going to follow up. And Melissa Isaacson at the Chicago Tribune is a former Daily Iowan writer, a graduate of the University of Iowa. In this room full of guys, she's the only one who had the tenacity to ask a follow-up question about the Indiana, and then that really set him off. And eventually people kowtowed and it got back to things that Steve wanted to talk about. But that's a very old clip, but I've always wanted to, and I had a hard time finding it. I had to reach out to some friends at KCRG and break into John Campbell's vault to find me a decent clip of it. But I will replace that with Kirk Ferentz saying that there's no such thing as a bad bowl game, and we're pleased to go to the Quick Lane Bowl, which I don't think that's the case. I think it's a Pinstripe or Music City right now. I've got my fingers crossed for Music City, and I think most Hawkeye fans do. Scott Docterman was with us from Land of 10 yesterday, and I'm trying to recall. He said the game to watch is the Indiana-Purdue game.
Yes.
And that is if Indiana wins?
I believe so. They're both 5-6.
Because Indiana has been to the Pinstripe Bowl, right?
Correct.
And so if Indiana wins and gets to 6 wins and they've been to the Pinstripe Bowl, that would be a problem for the Hawkeyes. So root for the Purdue Boilermakers. And maybe that doesn't help a whole lot either, but
it'd be better. Going to the Pinstripe Bowl would be a little bit of a downer for a lot of people.
And
the Quick Lane Bowl.
Yeah, that's just tough. Pinstripe Bowl, I think, is the 27th. A couple days after Christmas and New York City, we talked about this yesterday on the program, how expensive it is. I think Nashville would be. Plus, you get that's still an SEC matchup, right? In Nashville, Music
yes.
City Bowl, which that could exercise a couple demons because Iowa's last couple bowl matchups with the SEC haven't been fantastic, and their last bowl matchups, period, haven't been all that great in the score column. So they look. This team wants to go to the best bowl possible at this point, and they want to beat whoever they play. And they're going to take or want to take that first step Friday afternoon in Lincoln by beating the Cornhuskers and giving them a little momentum going into the postseason.
I remember the first year that I came back to the area and started working for KGYM. That was the year before they went 12. The Iowa Hawkeyes went 12-0. And prior to that season, the talk leading up to the season was not positive at all. There was a lot of negativity around the program, and it had to do a lot with the way that the Tax Slayer Bowl went against the University of Tennessee. And I was just thinking, if they lose their bowl matchup again this year, are we going to be right back into that same cycle? I know that's a ways off, but while you were having a weird dream at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting there thinking that last night, and I just wonder, just a couple years removed from a 12-0 regular season, I don't even really think that the Nebraska game has a ton of pull on the way people feel about this season, but I think the bowl game is going to have a huge, huge pull on it.
People want me to call in to Kirk Ferentz's call-in show this week and ask him about Manny Sanguian. I'm not going to do that, although I could probably reach out to Dolph and say, hey, in a private moment, just ask him. And so someone on the text line is bringing up Omar Moreno, and we're going to fall down the rabbit hole of talking about 1970s baseball players, which we may anyway with Joe Morgan's comments, but 452, let's bring him on board. I always love hearing from him. I love hearing from you guys too, but Sonny in Iowa City has a special place in my heart. I'm very thankful for his phone calls. So Sonny, what's up?
Oh, that's so kind of you. On a much less nice note, I guess, we have to talk about the Iowa football program. I missed the chance to call into your show yesterday when you were talking about Kirk Ferentz and redemption and things like that. First of all, I love the Hawkeye coaching staff. I've always been a big fan of them, but I cannot remember a season where it was more up and down than this one. There's been a lot of seasons where we've had games that, you know, went one way that I was surprised about. We had the fantastic season where you and I missed got two field goals blocked, and then there was the ping pong interception by Tyler Sash and all sorts of stuff like that. And we ended up with a great season. But in all those games, you know, the ones that we lost, we were close. The ones that we won, we were close, or at least it felt that way. This one, it feels like we are either all world or just the worst team ever. And it's so much more frustrating as a fan because of that. And I do think that Nebraska, that win against Nebraska this weekend, will be a big deal for the fan. place because it at least gives us some hope for the months that we have to wait before a bowl game. And if we lose, it is just going to be awful. So I think it means a lot.
Thank you for putting that into perspective as well, because if they were to lose on Friday, the next 3 weeks would absolutely be insufferable. And it would just be because, A, you sort of, they go radio silent. You don't hear from them a whole lot. And it would just be people rehashing the same storylines over and over again, and there'd be nothing new to perpetuate it, and it would just be like Groundhog Day. So, yeah, I've got my fingers crossed. I want Iowa to beat Nebraska on Friday. And I want Iowa State. I'm the biggest fan. Somebody said, you know, you're a big Iowa fan. And I used to refute it and shoot it down. No, I'm not. You know what? I'll admit it. I'll cop to being an Iowa fan. And I will cop to being an Iowa State fan. And I will cop to being a UNI fan. Because you know what? Because of those three programs' existence, but mainly because of Iowa's existence, I have a very nice house over my family's head. And I drive an okay vehicle. And I live an okay lifestyle. And it's because the Hawkeyes exist, and to a lesser extent, Iowa State and UNI as well. So guess what? Hand me a pennant, and I will be the biggest fan of all three teams moving forward. I finally admit it. It feels good. It feels good to say I'm a fan, because it's tied directly to my well-being and my family's. And we're going to keep it here. We'll get caught up sometime in the next couple hours, but Kyle's going to bring you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Things haven't gone according to plan for the Iowa basketball team in the Cayman Islands. After falling to Louisiana Lafayette yesterday, they lost to South Dakota State earlier today, 80-72. Iowa actually didn't play as poorly as it did yesterday and, in fact, shot 50% from the floor, but committed 15 turnovers and allowed the Jackrabbits to go 16 of 19 from the free throw line. The Hawkeyes will play for 7th place against either Buffalo or Alabama Birmingham tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz spoke to the media in Iowa City today and passed along a little bit of injury news. Safety Amani Hooker has missed the last couple of weeks and unfortunately won't be able to play in Iowa's regular season finale against Nebraska this Friday. As for Iowa State, there's a few interesting notes out of Ames. Receiver Alan Lazard accepted an invitation to play in the Senior Bowl in Alabama in late January. Also, running back David Montgomery affirmed what Coach Matt Campbell said yesterday, that he'll be ready to go after an ankle injury last weekend. And lastly, defensive coordinator and safeties coach John Haycock has been named a semi-finalist for the Broyles Award, which goes annually to the nation's best assistant coach. We've got a lot going on after the show today. Beginning right after we get off the air, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And on the North and South Gym FM frequencies beginning at 7:30, we'll have the Cedar Rapids Prairie hosting Muscatine in our first high school girls basketball action of the year. And back on 1600 beginning at 9 o'clock, we'll have number 13 Notre Dame basketball taking on LSU at the Maui Invitational.
All right, hour number two brings us a couple guests. We'll change things up to start the 5 o'clock hour. Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago will be by to talk about the impending removal of John Fox as the Bears head coach. He has about as much time remaining as Mike Riley does, I think. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com with us as well. 1 hour in the books, two to go right here on KGYM. Back after this.